Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name. Your name.
Hello, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. This particular episode is all about you, your personal experiences. And we are particularly interested in those that defy mainstream thinking and that people have a little bit more difficulty speaking with others about. So we respect the valuable connection that the mediums provide to the deceased, but this center shows around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. Your co-hosts for this Signs of Life Radio will be Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World, and yours truly, Kim Saavedra, director of the Kumlock Center in Claremont, California. Before we bring on the other two co-hosts, I'd like you to jot down the phone number so you can let us hear from you. It's 888-627-6008. You never know how important your story may be to someone else. So good evening, Betty and Janet.
Good evening, both of you, Janet and Kim.
Good evening and welcome back, Betty.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be back.
Yes, we're glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it seemed like it was the summer and then Janet was gone and then we had one episode and then we had November and December without, and last month without Betty.
I know, so. It's a kind of a blur.
Yeah, well, so it's good to be together again.
Yes, and wondering what you're thinking, Janet. I know you always meditate before of a theme. What's in your heart tonight?
Well, I mean, this past week, it was a little rough. We had lost someone that we know. And so, you know, yesterday was the funeral, the wake and the funeral. And I was thinking about this morning, and I was, you know, thinking, okay, I'm going to meditate. What do I want to meditate on? And you know, I was running down, you know, and of course it's because of this week, but with losing a loved one. And I thought, you know, what if we never heard the word death? What if that word never existed? And if instead we only heard words like transcending or transitioning or even going back home or heading back? And I just thought it just hit me really weird. Like, you know, what if we, instead of losing them, it was more, we were honoring their journey back. And, you know, it's all out of love. And yes, you know, we become more because of that, because of losing them. But I know we're here to change the narrative, and which also brings changes. And it's not that a loss isn't unbearable and painful. Believe me, you know, I understand. I was thinking if people, you work on finding the comfort and the lesson in everyone that we were able to experience with in this life. And I thought, okay, if you start looking over everyone you lost, everybody who came through in your life, and I'm like, well, one person you might've pulled out, wow, the strength in them, it lent me so much strength and it gave me so much empowerment to move forward. And, you know, and then I'm like, and then what if somebody else who passed, they didn't take care of themselves. And you're like, okay, that causes me to, you know, want to make sure I'm still exercising enough and I'm watching what I eat, which I hate because I want to eat something junk. But it's like, or what if someone is, you know, who we've lost was so generous and you're like, I could never be like that. And you think, well, you know what though? I have to reach out in a different way. I have to be generous in some form. And I'm like, what if, you know, we kind of work through that with everyone we lost. And I know it sounds kind of odd, but with losing someone this past week and thinking about that, I thought, you know, what did this person teach me? What did this person leave me that I can move forward for them? In what way? And there's things that I couldn't possibly, but it just made me think about that. And I thought, well, what if we all looked at, you know, it differently? And since we're kind of here to change the narrative about death and not make it seem, you know, I know it's, you know, an ending in one end, but what if we never had that word? What if we only knew it as, you know, transcending and moving forward, and that, you know, it's a beautiful thing and we carry that message with us? Does it change? You know, how does it change us? And I guess we can't really change because we know that word, you know, we know what that word is, and it does bring us into a different place. But it was kind of a different meditation this morning. And it was kind of like, well, I think if we all are grateful for everyone who passed before us, and we try to hold on to something from them and move forward with them, you know, we're continuing on with them still in a different way, of course, but it's also in a way that, you know, it can make you proud to have known that person or to be a part of that person's life. And so, you know, that just kind of stuck with me this morning. And that's the angle I came from today.
Well, I think that's an excellent and very important angle. And, you know, I tried when I wrote The Miracle of Death, There's Nothing But Life, I was trying to and hoping to change the meaning of the word death, because during the experiences I had of death, I kept thinking, this is an incredible activity that we human beings are capable of, that we are born in this dimension, and then we can actually let go of the physical body and be born into the eternal dimension back home. And so I wanted to try to make that in the book, that this was a miraculous activity that we are capable of, that what creators we are, that we can be born and then that we can be born in another way back into the dimension from which we came. But it's awfully hard to achieve.
Right. And because, you know, death is a part of our, you know, it's a part of our world. It's a part of, like, you know, when you say you wanted to change the world, but I was thinking the same thing today. We can't change that word. That word does exist. It does. And we have to be a part of that. But if we can, you know, like you said, move past that and keep going with it, and, you know, it might take us into like a different dimension. So, yeah, I do agree with that.
Kim, when you were sharing that, Betty, I was reminded one time you told me that your husband, Pishta, had talked to you after a particular experience, and he said, but death just didn't mean the same thing anymore.
Oh, yes. That's very powerful, is that in our experiences, it's that he, yes, it's when or someone is in the hospital and we were told he probably wouldn't live through the hour. And we were standing there somewhat traumatized. But during that time, my husband had a vision that he was with Pishti, with our son. And he said that it was so profound being with him on the other side, in a sense, that he said, it wasn't even a question whether he was going to die or live, because death just didn't mean the same thing anymore. I realized there's nothing but life. Mm-hmm. And that experience of it changed everything, that he saw it. Well, the first part of the vision was that Pishti, our son, just sat up in bed. He was in the trauma center. And there was a dove that he reached out and placed in his heart and then lay back down. And then my husband saw him on Machu Picchu, on one of the mountains, Machu Picchu, and one hand was up in the air, the left hand was up in the air as if he was receiving something, and then the right hand was flowing down to the earth, so that he was like a connection between the other world and this world, and information was flowing through him. And then later, he was the part of the vision I just mentioned, that he said death just didn't mean the same anymore. It wasn't even a question.
Yeah, I think it was, I didn't know if it meant that he would live or he would die.
Yeah. Oh, that was it. Yeah. I can't remember better than I know what I wrote.
Oh, no. It just was so poignant.
Yeah. But whether he would live or die, it just wasn't.
Because he was still experiencing him in that other space.
Well, I think, yes, it was the experience of who we really are, that we are creators who are born into time and space. And then when we're ready to go home, we are reborn back into the spirit world. This is powerful creativity.
It's like the gate on this end when someone's being born, it's the it's the birth.
Yes.
And then on the other side, they're being born in there. For us, it's death, but for them on that end, it's the opposite.
Yeah, that's really good.
I love that
word. Right.
remember the division that I had when I was pregnant with my son is that I saw a young man come. He was coming into the world. He was going to go through the gate, which I was watching in this side. It said birth, but to him, it was death. So he was dying to himself in the spiritual world to come into physical time and space.
That's amazing.
So it's a perception, the way we perceive it. And I did so want to, since it had been our experience, what you were getting at, Janet, is that it is a powerfully creative act of birth. But what can we do? And what can we do with the word, you know, because it has such heavy connotations.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And I think too, like, it was interesting because the one person had pulled me aside and said, you know, I knew you were going to be here and I wanted to tell you something. And they went on to tell me about some signs or some acknowledgments they had already received from their loved one. And I thought it was so beautiful that they wanted to share that immediately. And, you know, and they kept saying, well, you know, I know why I was chosen to see this right away. I'm supposed to tell everyone in the family. And I said, yes, I said, you need to stay open. I said, you're doing a beautiful job by just sharing what you already know. And I think sometimes just having that validation that, you know, like they made a comment of, you know, well, I didn't want people to think I was crazy or I was afraid or I was a nutcase. And I'm like, no, I said, I think what you're telling me is absolutely beautiful. I think sharing that is important. And we need more of that in this world, is to share, you know, like, that's why we're here, to share your story, have someone come in, tell us your story, tell us what, you know, what happened, what sign you received. And it was interesting because these different signs were coming through. And I said, that's wonderful. And I suggested, as I always do, to get a journal and write it down, date it, put a time stamp on it, you know, time it. And I said, you know, you may begin to see a pattern. Or, you know, you might not. It could be during who knows what. It could be whenever, you know, you're in a calm, relaxed state, or it could be when, you know, you have something major going on in life, or, you know, whatever may be happening. I said, it's a good idea to kind of pay attention and to keep track of that, because it really is healing to have that in front of you to say, you know, this really did happen. This really exists. Because I mean, that even happened with me when so much was coming through all the time. And I'm like, am I going nuts? I know I knew that happened, or I know that was going to happen. And, you know, I saw this and I saw that. And it was big, because it taught me that sometimes what's going on the outside world, you know, people are, you know, saying, oh no, they can't be, this isn't right. You have to just, you know, get rid of that clutter and stay, you know, in your own little, you know, meditation world, and be open to what you see, or to respond to it, and let your loved ones know, hey, I got that message. You know, it seemed a little vague. Maybe, you know, come through a little stronger if you can next time. But, you know, I did get it. I got it. I got what, you know, such and such was. And I think that's important. Sometimes they're humongous, you know, things. And I always find it really funny when something pops up that a lot of times I kind of start laughing, like, oh my gosh, you know, it's just like, thank you. I knew it. I thank you, you know, and that's what I love too. And that's why I like, you know, I hope we get some callers that can share some stories, because I think it's really important for people to know that so much of this is out there, you know? Well,
yeah. And I think too, that we have to be aware, and certainly my study of my adult life has been that there has been a concerted effort to make us believe that there is nothing, that we are nothing, and we don't have any of the abilities we have. If we look at very ancient, and in some cases still alive today in remote places, people who know the abilities that we have, such as the ability to heal any ailment that we have, some of these people are way over 100. They don't even remember their age. They're not counting. But there has been an effort and a concerted effort by the powers that have existed, especially in the Western world, that we believe that there is nothing but matter. We are nothing. We're a fluke of nature, and we do not have any of these abilities. When we start waking up and realizing what abilities we do have, and how just the power of loving is transformational, that in of itself can change everything. But we also, with that love, we are connected to those we love on the other side. And Whenever we have a voice that, oh, it can't be true or it won't happen to me, we have to just remember, yes, that's the brainwashing that we've all been receiving for thousands of years, and we've got to go beyond it. We've got to know that we are a direct connection with the other world and let it happen. And as you
agree,
said,
Betty.
Share it.
I agree. I think that's true. And I think, and I like the fact that when, you know, people are saying, well, you know, like you said, everybody has this. You were just talking about that. And everybody has this. Everybody has this ability. And I truly believe that. And I truly believe that we can all tap into it. And it doesn't have to be somebody's passing for us to tap into it. You know, I think anybody has this ability. And I think when you take time, when you focus, when you go in, when you meditate, you know, I think when you're open, which is really big, that's when, you know, things start happening. And I do believe that, you know, loved ones are waiting to come through and say hi, or loved ones are waiting to come through and give us some information, or, you know, your spirit friends, whoever they may be. And I think that is important. But I do think that I wish everybody was, like, I always say this too, I wish everybody was required to take like a meditation course, and, you know, when they were young.
Well, and that's another thing, is that those who don't want us to know who we are have so influenced our mental development that we don't teach anything about how to develop the various other components of the brain. We act like there's only the left brain, and that's all we teach at school. I mean, we do have art and music, but if there's any financial cuts, they go immediately as though they're not important. So we need our whole educational system will have to change. We will have to have the kind of system, the way of teaching and sharing information that activates the left and the right brain and the heart, which would be, as you say, Janet, it would be through even scientifically based practices, as with heart math, of how to open to the consciousness of the heart. And that means the consciousness of the cosmos. Yes, we've, and you know, there's so many people that I met after I wrote the book, and people I'd known for a long time, they would say, oh, well, yes, you know, that can happen to you, but that would never happen to me. We have such a way of demeaning ourselves. Well, my answer to that is, look, if it can happen to me, it can happen to you and anybody who's a human being.
Right. I totally agree. I say the same thing. I have, you know, with the languages I come through, I'm like, hey, that happened to me. I had a lot of, you know, strange things happen in my life. I'm like, I'm nobody special. I'm just a normal person. And I have all this happening. So, you know, you can have it too. And that's how it works. And even like these, you know, young kids, you read these stories about, I think it's in England, might be there and in China, that, you know, these young kids are wearing, you know, a little mask over their eyes, and they can tell you what color you're holding, you know, holding in your hand, or what's in front of them, and they can pick colors and they can't see. So that shows you and proves that this ability exists for everyone. It's just, you have to be open to it. And I think younger children might be open a lot more, you know, when they first start, because they don't know better. You know, sometimes,
oh,
you know.
Yeah, exactly. They know that it can be. Did you say in China? Because I know that exists in the UK as well.
Yeah, I think it is also in China. I think they're doing a study there too. I know in the UK they are, but I also think there was something in China with it. It might be similar. It might be a little different, but it is.
Yeah,
it's pretty wild, isn't it?
The color, yeah. And these children, and that's a beautiful point, Janet, that they haven't been told that it's not possible. You know, if we're not told something's impossible and we're just told to do it, then there it is, we can do it. It's amazing. And I have heard among Native Americans that there are people among them who can just put their hand on a book and they have the information of the book. I would love to be able to do that.
Oh, you and me both. You and me both. Oh my gosh. I wish.
But
yeah.
There are so many, we just hear so many things. And what was that? Kim and I were at a conference with Greg Braden and who was the other one? Anyway, they showed a clip of a woman who had gone to China to be healed of a malignant tumor. And Bruce Lipton was the other one.
Was it Lynn Twist there or McTaggart there too?
No, that was another place.
Okay.
It was just those two
okay.
at the conference we went to.
Oh.
But Greg Braden was showing us the clip of a woman who had gone to China. She had heard of their ability to heal tumors. And so we saw the clip and we could see her lying there. And then I think it was about three people came in and they started chanting. And as they chanted, we could see on the, I guess it was an ultrasound, we could see
some type of imaging.
Imaging, yes. We could see the tumor. And as they chanted, we could see it disappearing. And then when it completely disappeared, then they started applauding and then bowed and left her room and the tumor was gone. So it was, they were able to get rid of the tumor through certain vibrations. And I just, you know, I think of all of the people who have cancer in this country, there are so many possibilities naturally of healing. And I get information almost daily of discoveries of what is working with cancer, both preventing it and healing it. And then you hear something like this. We've got to make sure these things become mainstream and that we can learn from the people in China who do that. I mean, it's, but that's part of the plan for us not to have that information and not to believe it and then not to retrieve it. So I think we have to keep that in mind. I know that sounds kind of bad, but it happens to be true. And as part of the research that I've done in the last few years of the really the concerted effort for us not to have the information of our immortality, our divinity, and our creativity, all of the powers that we are born with that are our heritage. I was just going to say, that's our ancestors did everything they could to preserve this information for us because they saw that they were being undergrounded constantly and they wanted us to have this. So, and Jesus came to say, I came to remind you of who you are, not to save you, to remind you of who you are.
Beautiful. Yeah, and I think, I was going to say, I agree, and I think too that, you know, we were raised that, you know, you want to be able to hold something. You want something tangible. You want something that, you know, you can see. And I think that's where sometimes when people are, you know, looking for a sign or looking for something, they want to be able to see it and feel it. And it's like sometimes if you're just open, you can receive it. And that can be just as big if you're paying attention. And the thing is that that actually kind of activates the other levels of things around you, I think, that happen. I mean, I, you know, during readings when I would do it, I would have things in my office move. I had, you know, picture frames move. I had lights go off. I had, you know, my crystals fall over. I mean, just all kinds of different things that would happen. And I'd walk in and I'd be like, okay, you know, what's going on? And I mean, I took pictures of them. I have, you know, I have proof of these things that have happened. And it's interesting because it's like, I needed that. But I didn't really need it, but I did need it. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's kind of like, you know, we all still, in a way, want that. And that's why, too, like with, you know, someone getting a sign or, you know, a premonition or something that happened from a loved one that came through, that is so validating because even though we really don't need it, we do want it. We want that to kind of prove to ourselves that we know and that, yes, it does exist. And I think that that was, you know, brought a lot of clarity when a lot of that was happening, but I also think it gives us answers. And sometimes, you know, I'll just do that and, you know, in a meditation and say, okay, well, you know, I believe this is what happened. I'd like a validation on that. Can you do this, you know, or can you show me something like this? And then I'll kind of wait for it. And I'll be like, okay, that happened in a little different way than I thought, but it happened. And I think, wow, that's really cool that, you know, we're kind of open like that. So.
Oh, great. So great. We have Tiffany on the phone from California. She would like to share an experience and has a question. Welcome, Tiffany. Thank you for calling us tonight.
Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, ladies. Hi, gals. I've spoken to you before, as has my cousin Melanie from Nevada. It's actually something, Melanie lost her teenage daughter, and one of the ways that she coped with that and made sense of that was this idea of a soul contract that she and her daughter shared. And that was the first I've ever been exposed to soul contracts. And I'm kind of, so, okay, for my own self, My mother died as a result of an auto accident that was her fault, and also took the life of a young girl in the same accident. And for my whole life, because this happened when I was three, I've been wondering, you know, it's always the why. And then this soul contract came up, and I'm like, I wonder what my mom's soul contract could have possibly been to impact so heavily all of these people, including myself. And then I thought, well, what the heck's my own soul contract? And how do you even unearth that? And does such a thing exist? Sorry, that was a lot packed in there.
What was that last? I didn't hear the last.
And if such a thing exists.
Oh.
But I thought that was good when you got to the point about, what about me?
Oh, yeah.
What about my own?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow. I hear Janet has a response. Janet?
I thought you were going to go first. Okay, I'll go first.
Sorry,
when you
Janet.
Were saying that, when you were saying that, Tiffany, the first thing I thought of was, well, maybe, you know, your mom did in a way, and I don't mean to say she did what she needed to do when she came here, but maybe it was you needed to be born, or, you know, your sister needed to be born, or maybe the things that she needed to do were, you know, were complete for her. Maybe that was what she needed to do. You know, I mean, we assume everybody needs to, you know, live until they're 100, you know, and accomplished everything
right.
they want. And I think sometimes, I don't think it works that way. I think sometimes we're put here to do certain things. And then after that, it's kind of, I guess, up to us or up to whatever happens. And even like for the other, you know, the young girl who passed, we don't know if she had other things going in her life that she had created, or if maybe even her death was supposed to create something for the family. We don't, you know, there's so many different angles that it could come from. I can't just sit here and automatically list, you know, everything off. But I think that part of it is, you know, when we come here, I do think that we do have some things that we would like to accomplish, but I don't think it's just that. I think that there's also, you know, this openness of things that are random that can happen as well. So I don't totally
right.
believe that we have 100%, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do that. And then we go. So, I mean, maybe, you know, your mom had accomplished what she came to do and what she wanted to, you know, achieve in this life. And then not necessarily that she wanted to leave anyone, but maybe that was all part of it, you know, because we miss them. So of course it's painful, but maybe they also know, and like when we're all on the other side, we're like, well, we're going to see you again. You know, we're just coming here to experience such and such and then move on. And that's kind of how I see it. You know, I don't know, you know, like I said, everybody has, you know, they're in a different place, but I do think that there are things we come down here to experience. So as far as like the soul contract, that could be for some people. I think there are some things that we, you know, connect with, because I definitely think there were people that I connected with that are no longer here that did move me into different directions. And I think that maybe that's all part of it. They had places they needed to do things. I had things I had to do. And, you know, we intertwined and now we're moving on. And I think that when you look at it like that, you know, I do think that part is beautiful that they get to experience that. But I also think, like you said, it could be really sad and you're wondering why. But, you know, you can't, I know you could always do that, but in the same sense, if that was her contract or what her choices were or her choices and randomness were, then that could be part of it too, you know?
So, Janet, I think I would agree. I just want to insert quickly that I do think we come, because calling it a contract sometimes makes it so specific, you know, because I think that I agree with Janet, there's space for the random if we don't have intentions and people who, you know, that things can happen. But I do think that that we come with a purpose, and certainly after my mother and my son and my husband were killed, all in three separate automobile accidents within 3 years, and then we had the experiences with my son, it became very clear to us that these accidents were not random, that they were choices which we had made for various reasons. And I think that there were random things in my life, you know, but I think that there's certain things were not. And that, like you said, you know, what is my soul contract? You know, I think it's very important for us to ask that question. And sometimes we find out in various ways.
Over time.
Over time, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Good question, though, but, Tiffany.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting, because that's a very radical and alarming kind of life that, you know, with your mother going so quickly and with someone else, someone as part of our family was killed not long ago. He was on a motorcycle, and it was a young girl, high school girl. And I worried about her a lot, because I just think that had to be, it just, you know, when that happens, it makes you think a lot. I'm sure that she has a heavy burden to live with. Just, you know, because trying to understand her soul contract or her purpose, you know, is difficult.
Well, and how do you know that, you know, your mother didn't have a soul contract with the young girl who passed? I mean, you know, they could have, if, you know, you believe in reincarnation at all, maybe they knew each other before and they came in to do something and come back out. You know, you just, it's, you know, when you put it into
I just kept thinking that whatever her soul contract was had to involve all these people's lives that she had, both through her life and through her death.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. I mean, so many people were involved. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, we create on grand scales, you know.
Just look at how many people's lives you touch, you know, at any moment. So, you know, at any
That's
moment,
true.
There's a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I thought with my mother was hit by a car when she crossed the highway. And I thought a lot about the young man and what he must have gone through. And yet my mother was 75, I think, at the time. And I don't know that she was ill or had anything, but she'd always said, you know, I really want to go quickly. I do not want to die of a lingering disease. And she had been in the hospital just recently, but everything seemed to be okay. But I wonder too, could that have been for some reason that they put, you know, I don't know, but it's possible. And that he would have been giving her a gift. And I don't know why he might have had to experience it. There's so many things we don't know. It's just, we have to be open.
Yeah.
Right.
So many possibilities.
Well, this just opened my mind to a whole host of things. So anyway, thank you for your time and insights. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
And I love your show.
Oh, she loves our show. She said,
oh, great.
Thank you.
We appreciate your calling too, and being part of it and giving what you have to give and asking these important questions so we can all just explore some ideas. And
yeah, it's so important. We need you to call us.
That's right.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'd like to give the call-in number again before we proceed, ladies. It's 888-627-6008. And at the end of last month's show, Janet, we had a few minutes left, but not quite enough to squeeze in the story of signs that I had read and wanted to share. So if you two ladies don't mind, I'll go ahead and circle back to that. It was pretty amazing.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. The title of the book is True Stories of Messages from Beyond, and it's by Julie Aidlott, Aydlott, and friends. And one of the stories was about someone named John Vinh, for Vincent. So, and it was contributed by his daughter. And he was an older gentleman and found out quite by accident that he had lung cancer. And so he had gone through treatments, and the treatments bought him a few years, and then he started to decline. He was not afraid to die, but of course was worried about leaving his family and his wife missing him and daughter missing him. And so he was in the hospital, and this daughter was driving back to the hospital to see him when she noticed the time on the display on her dashboard at 7:15 p.m. And she just had an insight that he had passed. And then a few minutes later, her sister had called her on her cell phone in the car and said, you know, dad had passed a few minutes ago. So she was at the hospital. They all went together to be with him again. And this daughter had asked the nurse if she had noted the time of death. And of course, the nurse said he passed at 7:15. Then on the way home, this woman had called her office to check her voicemail. And there was an incoming call that she didn't answer while she was picking up her messages. And then a few minutes later, she checked her missed calls to see who had been trying to reach her. And on the phone display, the message was very simple. Missed it, dad.
Oh. Wow.
Isn't that great?
Oh my gosh.
So I love that.
Yeah. So three in the same evening, first her insight just,
yeah,
she just
very
knew.
Clear.
And then the nurse confirmed the time. And then he tried, because he had promised, I left this part out, that if there's any way possible that he could let her know he was safe and that he had made it to heaven, he would do it. And so that was her experience that night.
That's so good.
I love it. Missed it, dad.
That's great.
Oh, it is really good. There's so many stories of people being in contact with someone they love at the very moment of their death. Like there's one story in which there was a woman who, I think it was a man's mother-in-law, but he was very close to her, and she had to go to the hospital. He had to stay home. I think there were children in the home, and he had to stay home. And at a certain time, just like this, at a certain time, he noted it because it was so unusual. She came to the house. He saw her in his house, and she told him that she was leaving now. Told him exactly what was going on with her and why she was leaving, and that she was leaving now.
Gosh.
And then, of course, when he checked with the hospital, it was exactly that time.
Oh my gosh.
We need those stories. We need to reiterate them over and over again to just see the amazing kinds of things that we do experience.
Yeah, time and distance.
Time, yeah.
It just,
yeah, so true.
Did you have another story, Kim?
No, that was the only story that I had that I had wanted to share. But I mean, we just hear and see so many different things going on. And the one that kind of continues to amaze me is a certain fragrance that I always connect with my mom. And it just sometimes, like for days, different times of day or several days in a row, that it's just there.
That's interesting.
With zero explanation. You know,
yeah.
In an enclosed house where there's not a great opportunity for
and there are no fragrances in the house, really.
No
perfume used. As well, I remember a man got in touch with me. A very, very close friend of his had died. And they used to share coffee, interested in coffee. They loved coffee and gourmet coffees. And there was a particular coffee that had a very distinct smell. He loved it. And they would drink that coffee together very often. When his friend died, afterwards, he would often have in his house, lived in separate places, he would have the smell of that coffee would be so strong that he said, I have no doubt whatsoever because of that particular smell.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem, in my experience, to happen like when I'm sitting around thinking or that I even have her on my mind in that moment, or maybe even not, you know, in the hours or I don't know. It just happens. It drops in and it's like an announcement.
Well, and I think that's a great point is I think that happens a lot when we're in a zone that we don't realize we're in the zone. You know, it's like somebody once told me when they vacuumed, they always got a lot of information when they vacuumed. And I was like, because you're kind of just doing this, you know, job of not really paying attention, but doing what you need to do. And I think it's the same with anything, you know, like I always had, when I was drying my hair, which sounds really funny, I would just be drying my hair and then something would come to me and I'd be like, oh, you know, I think it's because you're just doing something and you're living your life and you're in this place that you're just very calm and relaxed. And I think that opens people up, you know, to receive that. And I think that's really cool. Just kind of like, electronics. I mean, so many people or you know, they receive, like, you know, the woman you were speaking of, she had a message on her phone, or it comes through on the computer, or they get some kind of, you know, the lights flickering, something, you know, that's electrical. And I really like that because it really helps people visualize and understand at the same time. Oh, I
Oh,
think we have a
thanks.
caller.
Oh, yes. Good evening, Marlene. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Yeah, my name's Marlene. Hi, I'm part of your group on Saturdays. I haven't been able to come recently because I work on that particular Saturday, so I miss your group. Anyway, I wanted to share an experience, if that's okay.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, okay, very good. My partner and I were soulmates. We were just so much in love, and he passed away in 2020, and then I moved back from California to Boston and bought a condo. Walked into the condo one day, and I had an exercise band draped over a doorknob, and all the windows were closed. There was no fans on, but one end of that exercise band raised up horizontally and flapped a couple of times. And I'm watching this and I'm like mesmerized. I'm spellbound. It only lasted a couple of seconds. And then I felt myself coming from behind myself and slamming back into my body. And everything was over. But it was a life-altering experience.
I guess
But I knew it
so.
was him. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That's, I mean, that is a really good sign because, I mean, that was, you know, right in front of you. And it sounds like maybe he tried to connect with you too on a soul level, from what it sounds like. You felt like your body, like you felt like it kind of went out or came back into your body. Is that what you're
Well,
saying?
I don't. I felt like I was having an out of body experience. Like the whole thing was, and I was out of my body. I was like up behind myself, looking down, and looking at this prod, you know, what was happening. But like I said, it was just. I mean, you can't prepare yourself for something like that. You walk into a house and there you have this. Yeah. It was amazing, and I would like to encourage him to do something like that again. So I've left that exercise band still hanging where it was hanging that day, and he hasn't done it again. But
Well, then ask for a new sign, you know, just say, hey, you know, I got that sign. If you don't want to use that one again, try something new.
and how great that you
yeah,
did
yeah.
in your new apartment in
Well, I
Boston,
guess. I'm
let you know he was there.
I love that. I was thinking that's quite the welcome wagon.
Yeah.
Beats a
Yeah,
basket.
I know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And
Well,
also to experience going out of your body, that was two rather miraculous events at
that's
once.
correct. That's true. You got to
Yeah,
know.
and it definitely was a snapping back into my body, like jolting back in. It was quite, I've never experienced that before. And but anyways, I thought I'd share it with you, and maybe someone else would benefit from hearing the story.
Yeah,
Okay.
I think that's really cool. I'm really glad you called in. I think it's, you know, and that's one of those things too, is, you know, you didn't once mention that it scared you and you were afraid. And I think that's important that people know that when someone comes through with a sign, you know, just experience the sign, experience that. And it sounds like you kind of went full into that. And that's why maybe, you know, you had some kind of like, you know, out of body type experience, is that you were in that moment, in that zone, and you were experiencing it. And I think that's a really cool personal experience. And I think that, you know, that your partner gave it to you, I think that's, you know, really beautiful. And I would ask for another sign and just say, hey, you know, if you don't want to play with that, you know, band, then give me something else that, you know, I can understand or see or, you know, value. And that way you'll,
Yeah.
you know that it's from them, you know?
It is
Yeah.
interesting. Go ahead.
Right. Go ahead.
Oh, I was.
So I was just going to share another thing that he had said, not that had happened, is he was a musician and he wrote songs. He was a singer for a heavy metal band. And when I came back to Massachusetts, I rented a car. got into the car, turned the ignition on, and one of his songs was playing. And it wasn't the kind of band that got a lot of airplay. I mean, heavy metal in Boston. I don't know.
Oh, well, those are two incredible experiences, though. You know, he's with you.
That's right.
In Boston.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dalton, Marlene, and sorry we haven't been able to see you, but I know sometimes you'll tune in but keep on mute so that you can listen to other people's experiences too while you're at work. So whatever works, anytime you can come back.
Exactly.
Oh, I appreciate that so much because I would like to listen in if I can't participate. But unfortunately, my work schedule is I work every other weekend and I work every second Saturday.
Oh, that's exactly when we meet. Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, we think those are great experiences. And I love that, you know, when you got in the car and it was on the radio. I mean, that's exactly what I was talking about when they come through in some way, like electronically, you know, with either the phone, the radio, the TV, the light. I think that's really cool. And the thing is, too, is you were paying attention. You caught it immediately. And, you know, it's kind of like thumbs up. You did great, you know.
Yeah. Well, when he was passing away, before he did pass away, I just blurted out to him, and I have no idea why I said this, but I said, I will find you. And ever since he's passed away, I've been trying to connect with him. I've been trying to find him. And that's why I've been taking all these psychic development classes and whatnot, because I promised I would find him.
Open, because he's probably around anyway. If you stay open, if you're searching, he could be walking behind you. So maybe, you know, slow down and stop and take note, kind of go within, try to meditate more, open up and say, you know, like one thing I do, and this sounds really goofy, is I like when spirits comes through to me, I like them to come in front of me, because a lot of times I feel them on the side of me and I'm like, okay, I feel you on the right side, but I really can't see you. So, you know, even though I know I can't see you, maybe in front of me, if you come around in front of me, I think it will be easier. So maybe ask him if he can show you or come to you in a way, like in front of you. And like, if you're sitting, just say, you know, wherever you may be, you know, especially if you feel their energy, like a lot of times people say, oh, I really feel their energy. They're on this side of me or that side. You know, sometimes you could say, well, can you come around in front so I could, you know, get a little more information, and maybe, you know, we can connect better that way. Or, you know, ask them just some different questions. You can talk to the spirit, you know, you can talk to your loved ones. They can respond in different ways or on their own level, however they come through. You know, they all come through differently. They're not all the same. So, you know, maybe even through, you know, something musical, maybe you have his music on, or you're kind of meditating after you listen to the music and see what comes through. And, you know, that might be a way to open up too.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Great suggestions. Thank you.
But beautiful stories. Beautiful stories. I love them.
Thank you so much for letting me share them.
Sure.
Okay. I should sign off and let someone else join. Bye.
Take care. Don't you think it's important that I do really, really want to stress to people is, you know, like she said, I'm going to find you. And my first thought is, as soon as she said that, was chances are he's right there already. So it's like, you're just missing the connection. So, you know, I don't want to say sometimes people try too hard, but you ever try too hard at something and there's nothing that's coming. It's and as soon as you stop, it's like, boom, or like you forget a word, you know, the word, but you can't say the word. And then all of a sudden, you know, 5 minutes later, the word comes to you and it's like, okay, that's kind of what it is in a way. If you know, kind of relax, you open up, you know, he's around, and I'm sure she feels his energy. So he's there. It's just, you have to kind of, you know, learn to meet in the middle with that connection, you know?
Right. And you know, he found her first.
He found her.
He did find her first.
He's waiting.
And that's probably what he was telling her. You're right, Kim.
That's right.
Yeah, there it was in Boston.
That's
welcome.
Right. That's right. We only have about 5 minutes left, so I want to give the number just one more time.
Great.
It's 888-627-6008. And Janet, I'm glad you had mentioned the word electronics a little bit ago, and then you just re-mentioned it. And it reminded me another strange thing that happened after my mom passed away is many times when I was on the phone with one or the other of my sisters, there would be this static and this breakthrough voice saying, "Hello." It sounded like a computerized voice or something. It happened so many times.
Gosh,
and then
wow.
I had my earpieces in there, wired earpieces, and I wasn't even connected. And I heard that static and then, "Hello." It's so weird. It hasn't happened in quite a long time now, but it happened probably a good 10, 12
Gosh,
times.
That's really,
wow, that's a lot. That's good. That's really cool.
And
maybe she kept doing it to like make sure you guys knew that she was coming through.
Yeah, but when the siblings were on.
Yeah, but did they hear it too?
No.
Just you?
Yes.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool though.
Yes.
Well, maybe you were the one that was supposed to tell them that she was coming through.
I guess so. It was my turn.
It was your turn.
You know, when thinking about a body experiences, we have, what, about a minute or so?
No, probably four.
Oh, is that I've heard several people say that, you know, when they were out of their bodies, that it was just amazing, amazing experience. And then the moment that they had the thought that they were out of their bodies, they were like popped back into the body, you know, and just like jarred back into it in a way. And my son had that experience, and he was in his bedroom, and he was suddenly up above and looking at his body on the bed, and he said, "Oh, I'm out of my body, you know, cool, I'm out of my body," and then slam, he was right back in.
Wow. Yeah, I've had some strange experiences. I don't think I've had like an out of body experience. I've had some, you know, different ones where I feel the energy around me, or they've touched me, or they, like when I was on one of the radio shows doing readings years ago on one of the Signs of Life radio shows. And I was so full of energy, just like all this energy coming through. And afterwards, I couldn't calm down. It just wouldn't calm down. And I just laid there, and all of a sudden I felt someone grab like my ankles, and I leaned up and looked, and I was like, "Okay, I have covers over my feet. Nobody should be grabbing my feet." And I looked, and I just laid back down. I'm like, okay, you felt that. It happened two more times. And then I realized I was totally relaxed. It was like they were helping me to calm down and relax, because I had so much energy running through me from the reading and the different people trying to call in. And I don't think, you know, even people sometimes think of that when they're calling in, that, you know, the mediums have a lot of energy pumping through them. And, you know, it just didn't seem to calm down. And so spirit was kind of like, "You know what, time to take over. We need to get her to calm down." And they grabbed my feet, or my, like right above my ankles, and they did that. And I always remember that, because I thought that was the strangest thing. I wasn't freaked out. It didn't scare me. But it was just one of those things of like, okay, that is a reminder that I need to dispel that energy in a different way, you know, the next time. And I had to learn to do that as well. And I think that's important too, is that there's so much involved with energy that, you know, sometimes when people are like, "Well, I'm not getting it," I'm like, "Well, they're there. Just, you know, you got to stay open and you got to relax. And you know, and then you also have to sometimes let go," which I wasn't letting go. So that was part of it too.
I'm afraid I wouldn't have been so relaxed if someone grabbed my ankle. That was amazing that it was an energy that relaxed you.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Great.
Well, the third time was a charm, I guess, for Janet.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a while. I'm a little hyper. Okay. Well, I guess, are we, is it ready for the prayer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I think this is something we can all use. So I will go ahead with the Mahayama prayer. Oh, we have a couple of minutes? Or not?
I think you should go for it.
You think I should go for it?
Yes.
Okay, I will go for it, because maybe it's, you know, we can all use it, like I said. The Mahayama prayer. May all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey. And that's it.
Love it.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you, TJ, our producer.
And thank you to, you know, everyone who's listened. And, you know, I hope that some people feel free to call in next time. And you know, give us their beautiful stories of their loved ones. We will look forward to that, right?
Yes,
Yes, we
absolutely.
will.
Thank you,
And good
everyone.
night, everyone.